Before I pray, I like to just kind of set the grounds of what we'll be doing today. You know, we are in a series of how the gospel shows up at the turns of life. And if you remember, in the first week, we talked about the never-changing God. And the week after that, we talked about the ever-changing world. So you had these two ideas, that God never changes, and then that life always changes. And we have these different seasons, and it's just ever-changing. Well, this morning, we're going to ask God to open up our hearts, because the change is going to be in us. And if you're taking notes, and I know there's a slip of paper there in your bulletin there, we're going to be filling in some blanks. But it's going to be about the gospel changing us, the change in me. So you have the never-changing God, how life always changes, but how we also change as well. And this is going to be our main idea. Last week, Matt says something really great in the sermon. If you remember, if you were here with us, he says, don't waste the season you're in. So he talked about so many different types of seasons in life, and we saw that in Scripture. There's a time to heal. There's a time to cry. There's a time to love. And in all these different seasons in life, one of the key phrases that really stuck out with me last week was don't waste the season you're in. And that's what we're really going to be kind of expanding on this morning. How do we not waste that season? Because you're all in a season. I'm in a season. You're in a season. Life is continuously changing. Just when we think we're set, we're not. And now we're into a different season. And how we should not waste that. And how we should just allow God to change that in us. And that's what really we're going to be talking about today. How God's going to transform us. How the gospel is going to change our hearts. And we're going to see how it's displayed in Scripture. We're going to be looking at some examples there. But before all that, of course, we'd like to pray. We really like this is going to be more than just a nice little lesson. We need God, amen. He's the potter, we're the clay. We need Him to change us, and not just have this little advice from here and there. Ultimately, it's God who's going to mold and shape our hearts. So let's go to the source. Let's pray. Just bow your heads with me. We'll just thank God for that. Jesus, thank you for being here this morning. Lord, without you, we have nothing, God. So Lord, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're ready to speak to us. We thank you that you've already started, God. We thank you, Lord, and allow you this morning to speak directly into our hearts, God. We just confess that truth once again, that you are the potter and we are the clay, God. So, Lord, we just surrender all to you, every area of our lives. Lord, every season that we're in, Lord, as nervous as we are sometimes, as we resist change or even welcome it, God, we hand it over to you, Lord, that you would mold us, that the gospel will continue to transform us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, guys, just once again, thank you so much for allowing me to be here to stand before you guys in this beautiful church body, and it's such a great privilege. A little bit about myself. I'm about a year into this coffee business, into Raleigh. I think we moved here September 13th or 15th or something like that. About a year. It's been crazy. It's definitely been a different season in my life. I was looking at a calendar yesterday, or as I was moving, because we're moving right now, warehouses, and there was this calendar that I had from last year, and exactly a year ago yesterday, maybe even spilled into today, I was in China. I was in China, of all places, with my brother, getting trained to run a coffee company. It was just, and so my background is from Texas. We've lived there most of my life. I was a pastor there. I married a pastor's daughter, so I was kind of like the up-and-coming guy. I've been there for 15 years, started as a guy who just was always there to the youth leader, to the youth pastor, to church planter, associate pastor, son-in-law. So, you know, it was like, I'm the guy, you know, like, and it was great, and it was fun, and I really felt like, oh, man, this is where God has me, and then all of a sudden, I find myself in China, getting trained to run a coffee company, and one of the weirdest moments I had in China was my brother took me out to a place in Tibet, and there was these hills, it's kind of like a desert area, and this guy obviously speaks Tibetan, and I don't speak any of that. He didn't speak any English. He wanted to give me and Ben a ride on his horse through these sand dunes. And I had seen my brother do it, and it seemed like that was okay. So I'm like, yeah, sure, let's get on. terrifying. Didn't help that my son was in front of me, and he's kicking the horse, and he's like, yeah, go, go. And we're going down these steep hills, and I'm like, Ben, stop it. So anyway, we stop. I think this was just kind of like a little fun ride, a little special treat. The guy whose horse it was, later I come to find out, he's expecting money. And I don't know what he's saying, but he's getting a little bit more angry and angrier and angrier. And I'm just like, dude, I don't know. I kind of get what he was saying, but I don't know how much or anything. And I'm like, my brother is like really far away talking to some other guys because my brother went with me. He speaks Tibetan. And so I'm like, let me just go talk to my brother and we'll find this out. Luckily, a guy who came by translated for us. He spoke English and Tibetan. And really all he's telling me is, dude, you better pay him because these guys don't, you know, they kind of abide by their own rules. So just go ahead and pay him. I'm like, yeah, we'll pay him. Just let me go get my brother. This guy thought I was trying to get away without paying. He's getting so upset. Another fight breaks out between two other guys. They're pulling knives on each other. And I'm just like, I'm going to die here. this is the way I go. In the desert, in China, it's one of those moments where it's like, what happened in my life? You know, I was so comfortable in Texas, just preaching Sunday to Sunday. This is a good life. And now I'm stepping into something new. I don't know. I'm out of my element. But God takes us through these different seasons. He completely does. And you guys might be in a season like that. Or maybe not a knife fight with Tibetans. But something like that where you're just like, this is different. This is I was used to something, and now it's something else. And we're going to see in Scripture that that's very common. And that God uses those things to shape us. So if you're taking notes, we're gonna go right into this. And number one, the first truth that I really want to communicate to you guys is this. God's will is to change us. So none of us arrive set. None of us arrive into God's grace, into his kingdom, done. There's always going to be change. And I think that's something that should definitely be communicated just so that we're ready to receive it. Just something that as we're welcome, and we don't need to change to get in the kingdom, but once we're in the kingdom, there's going to be change. God will take you as you are, and you've heard these truths before, and if you haven't, then that's something really important to know. That should be welcoming news to you, that as you are, God takes you in. He's not waiting for you to get better, change. He's not waiting for a better version of yourself for you to come into his presence. You're in. God's grace is here. He'll take you. Now, once in, get ready for change. He will change you. He's ready to just bestow so much grace on you and passion. It will change you. And he'll use different seasons in your life to do that. One of the places that is just really key, and it's we don't really have to dig in to see what it means. It's very plain to see, and if you go to your Bibles in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read some verses there, starting in verse 1. And it's just going to be really clear. He's going to be talking about a specific area in our lives, but I want you to see this main idea as he sets it up, and it's this. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that you, as you received from us how ought to walk and to please God, just as you're doing, that you do so more and more. Verse 2, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And look at verse 3. Look how clear this is. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's, you know, sometimes we ask that question a lot. Like, what's God's will in my life? And that usually spills over into career, marriage, where you're going to live. God, what's your will? What am I going to do with my life? And these are all very important questions. But here is very plain to see that God's will for your life is sanctification. And we're going to kind of go a little deeper into what's this word, sanctification? It sounds pretty big, long, religious word, sanctification. It's going to be very clear to see. As we continue reading Scripture, he starts kind of diving in into a very specific area into our lives as Christians, and that's that we abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgresses and wrongs his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. Verse 8, therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. If we continue reading that section, he's definitely diving into purity. He then talks about love and how we should love one another. And it even spills into work and how we should work and our character during work. So God will continue to change us in different areas in our lives. But I like the way that it clearly portrayed it. He said, God's will for your life is sanctification. God's will for your life is change. Let's see that. I want to show you one more verse just to get you ready for this, to really prove that this is God's will for your life. This is Romans chapter 6, 22, and it says this. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and in its end, eternal life. So there you see this progress again of like, we come as we are. Jesus takes us as we are. We are set free from sin. Who is glad that's not over your shoulders anymore? That weight is gone. You are free from sin. That's an amazing relief. Like, thank you. Everything that I tried to accomplish. How many of us had conversations with ourselves in mirrors all the time? Change, right? This is the last time you do this. Stop it. We're going to change. From now on, new. And then we don't, and it's still there, and that weight is still there, and nothing changes. Well, God has set us free from that. He has set us free. He kind of intercepted that mirror conversation and says, I'll do this for you. I'll pay for your sin. You are free from sin. Now, this leads to, these fruits that it leads to, is sanctification. So in your notes there, we put like a little fill-in-the-blank section there of the definition of sanctification. And look at these key words. Look at these verbs as we talk about and describe sanctification. It is the act of process, that's the first blank, of acquiring sanctity, of being made or becoming holy. Those blanks, I purposely chose those verbs, those words that are there in that definition, because it's a process. You're being made and you're becoming. These are all action verbs. These are all changing words, that you're becoming, that you are being made, and that it's a process. You guys get that? This is a continual process that's going to be in your life. You know, as far as I know, it's going to continue. It's going to continue. Some of you guys started years ago. Some of you guys started last week, but it's happening. Every time you come into God's presence, there's going to be sanctification. This is a whole process in your life that you're going to be walking through, and we got to welcome it. We got to welcome that change. We got to welcome the gospel and the way it's going to change us, and that's God's will for your life. So does everybody just receive that? Like, what's God's will for your life? Like, somebody asks you that, or you're thinking about your life, what is God's will for my life? It's change. It's being made. It's a process. And you know, this is the beautiful part. We're going to see that in Scripture again. God's in charge of this change. Because I'll be honest with you guys, sometimes people ask me, so what is God doing in your life right now? I have no idea. And I always felt like that answer was like not good enough. I always felt like I should know what God is doing in my life. I should be on top of things. I should know exactly where God is leading me to and exactly what changes are happening in my life. Sometimes, most of the time, I have no idea. But here's the good news. I'm not in charge of that change. It's God. I'm just here to respond to that change. I'm just here to welcome it. I'm just here to say, oh God, this is you. This is your will for Josh's life, that you mold me and you shape me. And I wish that God would just mold me and shape me in my own comfortable bubble, you know, my own little arena where I know where things fit, how I function, what responses are going to be like. I just wish all change took place in that. But if you're like me, and I'm sure you are, that doesn't really bring forth change. Usually change comes when everything changes, when you're in a new situation, when it's a new season in your life, where God brings you to somewhere new, and now you're just going to need God to show up. And man, I've had some crazy, God, you better show up moments. In fact, I had two of them this last week. It was just a crazy. I'm in the coffee business and have this big roaster, and I'm putting it in this warehouse, and it's just been one thing after another. I mean, God has just really, I've just been crying out to God, Lord, help, help. First time I do this, there's a lot of key things I don't know. I'm just, okay, God, you better show up. And there's just been a lot of key things, but one of them happened Thursday. So on Thursday, after it gets moved, and that was a big ordeal, and then there's a gas issue. We had a gas leak in the building. It was terrible. There's other tenants in this building that were freaking out. They were like, it smells like gas, and it did. It was like, I'm going to blow up this whole warehouse. Like, this is crazy. And so we finally found it, the leak. They sealed it. And there was an electrical issue. After all that, we plug in the machine. Gas is connected. The gauge does read that there's gas, and the machine does not turn on. The guy who's helping me out says, this is as far as I go, because, I mean, I don't know anything about your machine. Gas is connected. There's you know, power going into it. So he leaves. And so I call the manufacturer for the actual roaster, and I get him on the phone, and I'm like, this is happening. It's not working. What do I do? Guys, if I don't roast coffee, that's it. It's done. I don't sell coffee. I don't have any money. If I don't have any money, my wife is mad at me. It's gonna get. This is bad. It's gonna escalate quickly. Like I need this to turn on. And so I get them on the phone. They're leading me through all these. That's a little touchscreen thing. They're leading me through all these troubleshooting techniques. At the end of the day, I spend like an hour on the phone with them, and they say, "Sorry, you could call back tomorrow. It's already 5 p.m. We gotta go. You could call back tomorrow. See what happens." That's what they left me with. See what happens. I already know what's going to happen. My wife's going to get mad. This is going to be terrible. This cannot happen. So God puts me in these situations. So, like I said, my history has been as a pastor for the last 15 years. That's the social sector. Besides preaching, I deal with people, or I've dealt with people. And the coffee's still a people business, but I never really dealt with machines. So, every time I had a problem with a person as a pastor, well, there's always ways around that. And there are difficult issues, but let's talk. Let's figure this out. Let's pray this through. With a person, I always felt like something could happen here. Let me meet with you again. Let's get other people involved into this situation. It's more tangible to me. But when you're dealing with a machine, you don't talk to the machine. You're like, come on, machine, what's really going on? Why aren't you working? Is there an offense you have against another machine? Am I not roasting the coffee right with you? Do you miss your old owner? Like, talk to me. There's none of that. I have, no tools, and I know nothing about electricity or gas, besides what I learned in the last week. I'm stuck. I am stuck. The professionals have said, I don't know, and they left. I am at my wit's end. I'm just I can't hug the machine into working. So I get on my knees. I get on my knees there at the warehouse, and I say, Jesus, you know all situations. You know how badly I need this thing to turn on. And I get on my knees, and I say, I have no more tools, God. That's it. Jesus, please help. And I know this sounds like I almost made up or whatever. I go to click it on, and it turns on. And the flames, this is after an hour of two guys who kind of know their stuff trying to help me out, and it didn't happen. So I say that obviously to give all glory to God, but I also kind of want to highlight that even as a pastor, and maybe I should have been in these type of situations, but even as my old job, let's just say that, I hardly had situations like that happen to me where I'm at my wit's end, I have no more tools, I'm in a foreign season in my life. It's so different. There's so much change that I have nothing to offer the situation where God needs to show up. In my old job and stuff like that, I hardly had those situations for one reason or another. And there was other things that obviously God did through that. But now I find myself in a season of change where I'm needing to depend on God more than I've ever needed to depend on Him before. God's will is this growth in me. He knew that maybe I wouldn't find that in that situation, but He will put me in a situation where I know nothing of what I'm doing. There was another situation, I don't know if I told you about it before, where I went into this place where I was plugging in a machine, and I don't know anything about plumbing, and I started messing with pipes, and I almost flooded the place. It's these type of situations where God, I am foreign to this whole thing, but God uses those situations. Where now, at least for me, I had this higher dependency on Him, where I really, really know Him as my provider. Now, I've always heard that, and God has always provided, but this has been so real to me of who is God in your life? He is my provider. There is no doubt of that. because when I called, he came. And if I would have stayed in my safe zone, I think it would have been really hard for me to learn that, for me to grow that way, for my faith to expand. And so I say all this, that as we find ourselves in new situations and new seasons in our life, that you welcome that change. You're like, God's will is for growth. God's will is for sanctification. There's going to be something good that comes out of this. And so as we transition to point number two, and this is how it rolls out. This is the way it is. More of Jesus equals more change. And I love this passage. This is great. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 18. And this is a really, really cool passage that just shares a lot of key truth. There's a lot of like these little nuggets that just pop out of us about what happens to us as we experience Christ, as it's more than just a religion or just, you know, being nice. It's not behavior modification. It's not about being nice. These are some really cool things that begin to develop in our lives as Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to go 12 through 18. And we'll read it, and then we'll kind of go back and unpack it. Verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their mind was hardened. Their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. This is what's going on in our lives now. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. How many of you guys are familiar with that passage? For sure, that one key scripture, right? I think it's 17. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, right? We're going to be talking about that freedom in the light of sanctification. But as we break this down, there's like five things I want to get out of these six scriptures that we just read. In verse 12, it says this: since we have such a hope that we are very bold, guys. And I mentioned this a little bit before. God has taken all your sins away. This is great hope in that. That God has relieved us of all sin. We live lives of hope. We need to be constantly reminding ourselves of this great hope, because it leads to boldness. It leads a boldness in life to welcome change, to not fear change, that God puts us in a different area of your life. Okay, it's hard. Yeah, tears might come out. It's fair to cry. It's very difficult. But I'm bold coming in because I remind myself of the great hope I have in Christ. That Jesus already took away my sins. That I have nothing to prove to him anymore. That he already loves me. This morning we sang that our names are written on his hand. That is a beautiful truth. I love that. That gives me such a hope that it kind of leads me to be bold about life. That as a new season comes, I'm like, bring it. Bring it. I'm good. And not because I'm awesome. I'm probably going to cry, and it's going to bring me to my knees, and I'm going to be freaking out. But it doesn't change the hope. I have a great hope. And we constantly, and I tell you, remind yourselves of that hope every morning. Remind yourselves of that hope every time you walk into a new season, because it works. It will fill you up with boldness. I was reading this book about having crucial conversations, it's called, and I think I was talking to Matt about that too, of like how to have these hard conversations with people sometimes, because you need to, right? And they're important, and you need to sit down and talk some truths, and some conversations are harder than others. And one of the key things that this book says that you should do is kind of tell yourself a story. And so if you tell yourself a story about what that person or that situation is about, but it's talking about a person, maybe where they're coming from, what's led them this way, why they're thinking that way, it kind of gives you a different perspective about whatever you need to dish out, you know, because you kind of get a feeling for where they're coming from, why they're doing the things they're doing, and it's just better than attacking the subject. Now you get this broader perspective of like, oh, maybe this is why they're responding this way. I've had to do that with the guy helping me move my roaster all week. I just keep reminding myself, like, this is a great guy. He's nice. I'm not dogging on him. He definitely has a big heart. He actually does genuinely want to help me. But he's just one of these guys that has like a million projects going on at the same time. And man, it's just been, so I have to remind myself every time I talk to him, like, he's not out to get me. You know, he's not out to just like not make this happen. He's had a lot of stuff going on in his life. And in fact, last week, one of the guys, it was a very tragic thing. One of the guys that he had recruited to help him, help me move the roaster and all that, young guy, tragically, lost his life. This is somebody he worked with. This is somebody he knew that actually when I met him the day before, because he showed up to the warehouse, and I'd met him the day before, and we talked, and really cool kid, 25-year-old kid. He cut the grass at his old church, or his church he used to go to, and anyway, and I even gave him the key to the warehouse, because he was going to come that morning to like start taking down some electrical stuff or whatever. Well, that next day, in a car crash, he passed away. And I even felt that. I was just like, and I had just met him that day before. I was just like, wow. But my friend, he knew him since he was a kid. He had helped him with different jobs. It really hit him hard, and it should. I mean, he even that next day, he told me, hey, like, if it's all right, if I could just go home, and I just got to think. I just got to sit through this. I'm like, dude, go. He's had a rough week himself. But if I don't kind of think about that, and I'm just like, I'm not going to tell myself that story, where he's coming from, what he's feeling. I'm just going to go down to the issue. Dude, you were supposed to be here. Hey, why didn't this happen? Then you could see how that might have a negative outcome of that situation. Well, in the same way, as we go into these different seasons in our lives, remind yourself of that great hope. I think sometimes as Christians, we just kind of take that for granted. We're like, we understand the story of the gospel. I mean, some of us have grown up in church. It's very obvious. Well, we get that when we're little. VBS taught us that, you know, like, we got the key scripture down, John 3:16. Like, we get salvation. We get the story. We get the cross. 3 days, came up, wise men. All elements, we've heard it and heard it. We know it. And it seems like, okay, let's move on. What else you got, God? What else is there? What else I should learn? And there's a lot of cool things in the Bible. But that is the cornerstone. That is everything. That Jesus went to the cross for you is everything. We preach the cross, and that's what every sermon is, the cross. It's the gospel. That's what Jesus did for you. You remind yourself, and not just like for the world, for you. Jesus gave his life for you, paid everything. You get that hope, it makes you bold. And I like that part. We are very bold. And then it describes how they had veiled faces, they couldn't see it, but through Christ, we get to do that. Verse 16 in that passage that we read, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. You have access. More of Jesus is more change. It's going to be more exciting. When that veil is removed and you turn to Jesus, have your way, man, things are going to change. Things are going to happen. The more you press in, the more you lean in, the more you're like, God, more of you. Man, God is going to mess you up sometimes, is he not? He's really going to start to mold, and he's going to really start to shape. This is what happens when he does that in our lives. I love this verse. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I go back to that hope, to that boldness. We use this scripture a lot. There's a freedom in our lives to just have God change our lives. That's the way we should all live. As we enter new seasons, as God is doing something new in our lives, as there should be a freedom in our lives to welcome it. There is freedom here. We don't need to fear. Now, I believe like a stark opposite of that freedom is fear. Of like, I'm scared. Don't do that, God. Don't touch this area of my life. God, what are you doing here? No. And you resist, and you resist. Instead of having that hope, having that power, turning to God, he's responding. You just have a freedom about life. You ever meet those guys? Those are just the most welcoming relationships, conversations, or areas of people's life that I get to see that's just so encouraged and convict me at the same time. Where I meet somebody who's going through stuff. I mean, they are going through hard times, but they look at you and they're like, but God's in control. God, you ever meet those guys, those situations? It might be some of you guys here today where like, you just, the outside looks great. Inside, you're going through turmoil. There's like confusion, there's hurt, there's sickness, there's stuff going on. But man, there's a freedom in your life. And you should just display that because it encourages people. if I could feed off that. And I want to encourage people that same way. And just like, man, I don't know. I'll be the first to admit, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I don't. I'm just going to trust. But there's a freedom in that, that God does. He's leading. And there's a freedom to just worship and to praise and to not fear and to give him all glory. Verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, were being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this is where it clearly states that we are being transformed, as you guys have heard, from glory to glory, from one situation to another situation. I just repeat what I've said this at the beginning of this. We are not done. You are not done. There's still change to be made. The gospel still needs to go a little deeper, and there's still things in our life that need to change. When I first came to God and my life started to change, it's kind of like the big rock. Like there's these obvious things that need to change in my life when I first really just turned to the Lord and I just surrendered my life to him and said, Lord, have your way. Some of them were so obvious of need of change. You know, stop, get sexually pure, one. Stop being a liar and cheater, you manipulator. I mean, those were very obvious. This is, I come in dirty. I'm just like, but, and sometimes we feel like when we get those big ones out of the way, you know, and for maybe some people it's like, well, I stopped drinking or something like that. These things that were messing up your life, whatever it is. You know, for me, it was definitely like a purity thing and a liar thing. And so, yeah, all right, those move out of the way. We think we're done because even people will see the change. And they're like, dude, you cleaned up, man. You cleaned up nice. That's good. You're like, that's cool, man. You're different. And we hear that and we think we're done. We think that's it because we got those big ones out of the way. Well, no way, man. The more we press into God, the more he's like, there's more in there, Josh. There's way more in there, more than you knew of who you are that needs to change. Sure, those were obvious, but let me show you something else. And the next one for me, that was huge, but that was hidden, was pride. But I just thought that was who I am. That's how God made me and whatever. Let's get these dirty ones out of the way. But the more I got closer to God, it was from one glory to another. It was like, now let's deal with pride. You think you're all that, don't you? Yeah, I guess I do. You think, what is that? Humility needs to come in. And then God will put me in situations where it needs to happen, where I need to surrender that. And then after the pride thing, not that I'm clear of these things, guys, by no means. And these are things, check boxes that I done, completed. These are the things that are still working in my life, but God keeps pressing in, and they're just, Lord, I need more of you. More of you, less of me, more of you, less of me, more of you. And he uses this sanctification, this process, this being made, this becoming. And I love this last part of that same verse, and it says this, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let that just fill you with hope again. Whatever season of life you're in, whatever hard situation you're in, wherever, as God is pressing in, know that as things look confusing, as you find yourself in places that there's just so much change and it's different, know this, that this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen? You all, me, we all have the best dad ever. I mean, that comes with a package because that's who he is. And I don't know what kind of picture you have of a dad. Obviously, he's very well molded by your natural father. And some of weren't there somewhere. Some were good. Some were not so good. But you really need to, just as much as you can, push. Because God is nothing like that. Even if, and I had a great dad. I do. I was blessed with a great dad. He was around. Pretty encouraging guy. We have a good relationship right now. So I didn't have one of those tragic stories. But nonetheless, as good of a guy he is, and I'm very grateful for him, I still need to just push that. God is nothing like, he is nothing like God. He's damaged goods, man. I'm damaged goods. We're all damaged goods. We have a perfect father. That, and I want you to get that image because this helps as we go into this different seasons of life. That in the same way that I wouldn't throw my kid in through, I don't know, just a really rough situation, throw him into a cage full of serpents and snakes and poisonous snakes. I wouldn't do that. Because, I mean, he's 7 years old. You know, he's not going to make it. If he did, that'd be really random and cool. But maybe it's some superpower I don't know of or something, but I wouldn't do that because, listen, as best as I could compare myself to God, I'm an okay dad, and I have great love for my son. But at best, I'm decent, and God is perfect. I mean, at best, and I have great intentions, great love, but I'm damaged goods to Ben and Amelia and Max. I'm damaged. I am. As good as a dad as I am. And I think it was a couple of days ago where we went out to this lake Friday, and I was walking back, getting off the lake, and Ben just had all this mud that he had picked up, and he just, like, threw it at me. And I didn't see it coming. I just felt like, da-da-da-da-da. I love my son, but in that first thought, I was carrying, like, this little pump thing of water. I was going to get that. And I even saw it. You know how you picture it? And it happened in a nanosecond. But nonetheless, this is how God reminds you. You're damaged goods, bro. Like, I saw me just getting that thing and whoop-ah! Just like, I didn't do it. What do you call CPS on me or anything like that? But that was my heart. I was like, there was an offense done against me, and I wanted to retaliate against my own 7-year-old son. I needed to repent for that right away and be like, what's wrong with you? Like, it's just a reminder of like, yeah, you're as good as a dad you think you are, Josh. I can't get these two, dad, and be like, oh, he's something like this. Opposite ends. I'll do my best as a father, but I could never say, I'm a dad like God's a dad to us. God is perfect, and he's good. And so these changes of life, just know, and they should bring you hope because they bring me hope, that my perfect father, who's a trillion times better than I could ever be, who loves me more than I'll ever love my kids, will bring seasons of change and sanctification, as hard as they are, to my life. Well, there's a freedom in that because I have a good dad. Well, Josh, why would you change someone? Why would you take these leaps, change your world around? At the end of the day, not because I'm cool, not because I could handle it, and I like change, and that runs out real quick. When a machine doesn't turn on, and you can't do anything about it, I don't care how much I like change and adventure, who cares? The machine doesn't turn on. But here's what gives me hope. I have a good dad. He's in control. He's going to take care of things. I welcome change. It gives me a freedom. There's a boldness to just welcome these things. Real quick, some examples, and we're not really going to... Some of you guys have heard of these stories, so it's not just, I don't want to just say, hey, look, here's my life, and these are the changes in my life. Some real clear, and there's so many in the Word, there's so many in the Bible. You got the story of Joseph. I mean, look at this guy. He's in an area of complete favor with his dad and his family. Life is good. So he's in a season of, like, this is great. This is amazing. Like, his dad loves him, makes him this great coat. Boom, next season in his life, brothers turn against him, sold into slavery. Different change, different season in his life. Not one he asked for, just God ordained. God's his dad. He's taking care of him, but he moves him into the season where it's hard. And now he's sold into slavery. And then it changes again where he has like favor, where he's at in the prison cell. And now he's got a position of power even, and things are looking better. Different season. And then it roller coasters down again. He's accused of adultery, and he's thrown into prison, and now he's forgotten there, and he's, again, he goes down, and then he goes back up where he's in a position as ruler. I mean, gosh, I think God puts stories like this in the Bible to show, hey, because I know we resist. Like, how come this is happening? I didn't sign up for this guy. Like, come on. Like, and you have all these things happening in these great men and women in the Bible of like, phew. David, too, and we all know of David, and he's just like a, you know, he's a young man, and he's doing his thing, he's taking care of sheep, and he's killing it, man. He's there, he loves the sheep, he's having a really good time with the Lord, he's even like beating up animals and stuff. I mean, he's in his element, and then all of a sudden, he's like anointed king, and I really believe that's one of the hardest seasons in David's life, where all his big brothers got passed up, and now he's like, oh, I'm the king. I bet you that was really hard. I bet you, I feel like David must have had a harder time with his oldest brother. I want to say Eliab, but don't quote me on that. I don't know if that was his name. Anyway, his oldest brother, who totally got passed up. Imagine how mad he is that this little runt got chosen. I bet you that was a hard time in his life, where he was just smacked around and just being looked down upon. He didn't ask for that, and now he's there. To the front lines of war. to beating Goliath, to being king. Like, these different seasons happen. It's in the Bible. It's going to happen to us. Just when we think we're in our own, we've come to get a feel for, this is where God brought us. This is where we're at. I see the purpose. Be ready, because God's going to change you to something else. Because we're not done. But our hope, as Matt talked about in that first week, is the never-changing God. That you don't have to worry about. There's love. There's hope. There's just that great love that we can abide in. And so here's some questions to be asking. We kind of talked about this in the first couple of weeks. So what season of change are you in? It'd be a good idea to stop, to look around. And I know we're so busy in life, and one thing comes, and another thing comes, and another thing comes, and it's hard to stop and just breathe. But it's good that we do that. Because more than whatever's coming, whatever that changes, whatever project is messing you up or adding to your life or whatever that situation is, more important of that, there's a bigger question in this whole like big story of the gospel. It's like, what is God trying to do in my life? So it'd be good to just look around. What season of life? We talked about that last week. There's different seasons of life that you're doing of growth and investing into others. But that you stop and say, okay, God, what season? What am I learning from this, God? What are you trying to show me? Because something we don't want to do is just kind of stay in there and have our hearts hardened, not welcome it. And really, God will just leave us in that season, I believe. I think I kind of see that with the Israelites and the 40 years that they walked in the desert, you know? Like, these are things that could have maybe been avoided if they were just turned to God, but he had them walk in circles. And you don't want to play a waiting game with God. He'll win. You know, well, God, I'll wait you out. You get stubborn with God. It's like, well, I'm not going to budge. He's God. Like, if God has anything, it's time, dude. He's like, all right, sure. I've been here from the beginning. I am the Alpha and Omega. Let's wait this out. How long is it going to take? It's best to just surrender. And that's why we've got to open our eyes and just be like, what's going on in my life? It'd be good to ask people around you that are really close to you, that know you. You know, whether it be your wife or your husband, even your kids, if they're older, and they could kind of respond to questions like that. Your boss, even your coworkers, your employees. What do you see going on in my life? What's going on? These are good questions to just like reflect and be like, what's God pushing towards? Is it one of humility? Is it one of forgiveness? Is it one of faith? Is it one of growth? Where must I decrease so that he could increase? And I really believe like questions like these, like I just read it right now, you probably already know the answer. There's a few times, I think, where we really need to dig deep and say, like, God, where do you want me to change? Usually, we know where it's at. We like to kind of stuff it down there, but you know it's there. Let me just say that one more time. Where must you or I decrease and God increase? And it usually has something to do with loving one another, forgiving one another, being humble, displaying just care to something. It's just there. I encourage you to just welcome that and have that just change you. And so I'd like to end this just by praying. Because again, these are just some stories I shared with you, some key scriptures where I think I've seen it so clear in my life, and it's really convicting to me. And it's really obvious in my life as I'm like in a new world. But even if God throws me in a new arena, it's not the arena that changes me, it's God who changes me. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I could stay in this arena all my life, but all I really need to do is go to the source and say, God, change my heart. Use these things to mold me, to shape me. There's a great Puritan quote that says that the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. And you guys have heard that, and it just gives this perfect image, this word picture of like, the same grace, the same love, who God is as a dad, like it could have this two different opposite results. And let's be the ones that are just melt. Let's be like wax. Let it be transforming to us. Let it just change us completely instead of hardening our hearts. And that's the great fear. That's the great, you should fear that. You should just be like, let the situation not be wasted. Let my heart not be hardened. Have your way. Let the gospel change your heart. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads. And let's do this together. So, So Lord, we just thank you that as we read, Lord, these aren't just like false hopes. This is your word, which we believe to be is you, Lord. And you say that this comes from you, who is the Spirit. God, that we should be bold, that there is a freedom in it, God, that you are just taking us from glory to glory, God, that the process is in your hands. So many great truths, Lord, that all point to a great hope. And I pray that we would all be reminded of this hope this morning. God, that we lay down and maybe right there where you're at, you just want to just mentally, as you're prayerfully thinking about this, lay down that hard season change thing that's really pressing upon you. You know what it is, this fear or whatever you have, that you just turn it to God and say, Lord, this is different. This is new. This is crazy. I'm out of my element. I'm scared. These are all fair things to put at your feet, but I remind myself of the hope this morning. And I thank you that you're never changing. And I thank you that none of these things, although they have surprised me, none have surprised you. That you are in total control of everything. And that God, our lives would glorify you. That we would walk in freedom of all these things. And not for our glory, but for yours. That people would look into our lives and see a joy, see a boldness, and see a freedom. And our only response is that you're a perfect Father. And that you love us. And that you're good. And that brings us hope in every season of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.